Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 87. Yes, Dork Central, that would be me. So you can catch the links for this episode at theaterfolk.com/episode87. So last week we talked about character interpretation from the director's perspective and how two directors for my play Cobweb Dreams saw their particular productions. You know, same script, same set, same costumes, same blocking, and then completely different productions. So this week we are going to talk to the students from that production. I have two sets of students, each who prepared the same character. One for the high school production of Cobweb Dreams, and then one for the middle school production. And I really wanted to get their point of view on character interpretation, especially since they were able to see, you know, basically right in front of them, another actor preparing the exact same role. So how does that affect their preparation? You know, were they intimidated or exhilarated, right? So let's talk to our first set.
Quick! Oh, do you smell that? What? It's the worst stink bug I've ever smelled!
I don't smell anything.
Oh, quick! Duck! Plug your ears! Hold your breath!
Why is everybody yelling?
Molly, you have changed!
Changed?
What is on your head?
Can we get up yet?
Not yet. Still stinky.
You're just making asses of yourself.
Hi, all right. I am here and I am in Owensboro, and this is actually a very cool situation because we're sitting in a theater and it's empty and it's quiet. The stage is empty and I'm sitting here with two actors. I'm sitting here first with Tucker. Hello.
Hello.
And with Corey. Hello.
Hello.
And Tucker, what are we here to talk about?
Cobweb Dreams.
Cobweb Dreams, that's right. I'm going to be seeing, and it's tonight, right? It's this afternoon. We have the middle school production doing their first performance. And then tonight, Corey, we have the high school performance,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
Are you guys excited?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Very. You guys finally get to get it in front of an audience. Are you ready, Tucker?
Yeah, as ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah, that's good. How about you, Corey?
Yes, very much ready.
Good. So what's really interesting is that, so Tucker is in the middle school production of Cobweb Dreams, and Corey is in the high school production, and they're playing the exact same roles. Corey, what role do you play?
Bottom.
Yes. So Cobweb Dreams is a sort of a version of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and some of the same characters are the same. Just like that. So did you want this part, Corey?
Oh, yes. Very. It's comedic role, love make people laugh. From the very, when I read the script, wanted bottom.
How about you, Tucker?
Same.
Yeah, you really wanted this part?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, I like making people laugh and being laughed at, so that's pretty much it.
Now, is this part easy for you or difficult?
Well, it's something that I know how to do, but there's different difficulties because it's a different character.
What's something that's difficult?
The lines confuse me sometimes.
Yeah?
I just cut people off a lot in the show.
Right. So it's hard to get the timing right.
Yeah.
How about you, Corey? Is this an easy part or difficult?
It's difficult. I believe that the mindset of the character you have to play is very difficult to understand. You have to get that arrogant feel.
So because you guys are playing two different productions, exact same part, what's really interesting to me is how there's a lot of similarities. Wait, same script. You guys are working on the same set. You have essentially the same costume. And yet, time and time again, the characters, the two people who are playing the same character, do them differently. So, Tucker, what do you think that you do that's different than Corey?
I feel like since our group's younger, we react differently to different things. Like, I don't see Titania the way his bottom does.
Yeah, how do you see Titania?
I see it as, there's a girl who likes me. Why not join on in the fun? So
it's just it's a fun experience for this character. What about you, Corey? How does Bottom interact with Titania?
I believe that he's so into himself that he doesn't realize that the person in love with him isn't even human. He's just like, okay, this gorgeous girl is hitting on me. I'm just going to go along with it. Why not?
Right. Now, you guys, when you were doing your rehearsals, did you guys talk about the role together?
Yes.
Yes. And what was that like, Tucker?
We talked about our backstory a lot.
Oh, tell me what your backstory was.
Well, I'm related to Snout in the show, and I don't believe he is.
Oh, cool. Okay, we'll do one then the other. All so, right. So you're related to Snout in what way?
Yeah. We're brothers, and Quince is like his best friend, and they needed somebody else in the show that they were doing.
Hey, is Snout the one who jumps into your arms at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's really good. I like that, that building that relationship.
Yeah, they needed somebody else, and I was like, nah, and they're like, come on. So I did it, and then it turns out I'm obsessed with it, so why not do it everywhere I go?
Yeah.
And just perform and perform and perform, even though I'm not that good.
Do you think this character knows that he's not that good?
No.
No?
He thinks he's the best thing in the world.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. And then what was your backstory here, Corey?
It was... Snout, I'm related to okay. Snout. However, I put it as more of a deeper, like, sad kind of, like, our mother, like, left us after which, so Snout kind of raised me and all that with my father, and I put it as he doesn't really see the world through anyone else's eyes except Snout, so he's really arrogant, he's like Snout.
Really?
So...
Why is backstory important?
It helps character development so much. It tells you where you're from, how you develop, how you perform out there.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of experience, Tucker, doing like all this kind of backstory and character development for your stuff?
Well, I usually wrote like a page, but for this one, I had somebody who was behind me and helped me, which was Corey. So I ended up writing 2-3 pages.
Yeah.
Because he helped me, he helped me get through, like... So I was confused on a lot of stuff, and he's older, so he would have understood.
So you have someone who is older who's playing the same part as you, and he's sort of like, if there was anything that you didn't understand in the script, then he sort of explained it?
Yep.
What's something that you didn't understand?
The song. So I'm singing, and he told me this song. That didn't really work out for me because I'm a younger kid, so I ended up singing a different song, but that helped me out a lot.
Yeah, just to have someone who kind of throws you, gives you, lets you know.
Yeah.
And did you ever feel any pressure, Tucker, to be, to act like the way Corey does?
I wanted to be as good as Corey, but I wanted to be different.
Yeah.
Because I'm not Corey. I'm not going to be Corey. But I wanted to be with him and be but be myself and be different.
Yeah.
But still be as good as Corey.
Did you feel any pressure, just sort of that you had to mentor kind of another person who's playing your same character?
Yeah, when I saw the middle school perform and he was up there, I kind of felt like a responsible to help him develop and help me develop in the same way.
How did it help you?
He taught me the differences between, his reactions are totally different from my reactions. So I kind of combine them together.
Yeah.
To make a completely new reaction that both parties helped create.
Yeah. And have you ever done this before? Where there's another person right there all the time playing the same part?
Nope, never done that this before.
So how has that helped you as an actor?
It lets me see two different sides of the same character, two different roles of the exact same character. Because when I see the show today, I'm going to be looking at his part. I'm going to be, he's doing it completely different from me, but that's okay because he's doing it his own way, which is what I respect. I love that people can go, I'm going to do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way, and it could be even better.
Yeah.
It could be amazing.
Well, this is a perfect example of about character interpretation, right? That there's no one way to play a part. There's no one way to interpret a theatrical experience. How has this helped your acting, do you think, Tucker?
Well, I've never, I felt like I had more help this time. Not that I needed help, but, it's Corey was there to help me. I wouldn't have understood half the stuff in the show if it wasn't for Corey, because Corey knew how to explain things to me.
Yep.
When other people didn't really understand our role, because they weren't the ones practicing the lines every night.
Yep.
So he helped me, so, backstory a lot, he helped me through that. Because it's not the easiest thing for me to do.
No, well, and also, I mean, how long have you been acting?
While.
Yeah, but this is probably, is this one of the, the few parts where it's been this involved?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it's something that, how are you going to tackle your next role, do you think, based on this experience?
I don't know. I'm going to find somebody who can help me out, too, who actually, they know it as well.
Yeah.
Because, I saw it when Corey helped me. It helped me grow so much. And another person can do the exact same thing. Because I want the help. I want the criticism. Because all criticism does is help you.
Yeah?
It helps you more and more.
What about you, Corey? What will you take from this to the next thing that you do?
I believe the next thing I do is when I get the character and when I get the script, I'll actually have someone perform the other character.
Mm-hmm.
So I can take their interpretation and mold it into my own interpretation to get two different sides of the story.
Well, it just like, it's so funny because sometimes you see something that you just never thought of,
yeah.
You know, like, and that can really help you grow. Like that's just what you guys are saying. It can help you grow as an actor. So you're excited for the show. What's the thing you're looking forward to the most, Tucker?
I don't know. Doing my final monologue.
Doing your final monologue?
It's really fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think that moment that you guys have when, I just love it when Snout just, he runs down and he just like leaps into your arms.
And I catch him.
And you catch him. And it just is a, are you looking forward to the audience?
Yeah.
Responding to what you have to do?
Yeah, definitely.
How about you, Corey?
My favorite part about performing is the audience reaction because I take what they give me and I go, okay, I'm doing something really good here. I just love when they give me a laugh. That's my favorite part of doing this.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Okay. So now we're going to talk to two different actors. Again, one high school student and one middle school student. And this brings in a different aspect of character interpretation. The same character played by two different genders. So how does gender affect interpretation from the actor's point of view? Okay, let's do it.
You get off.
Do you mind? I don't like being flattened.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Why are you hiding in the bushes?
Who's hiding? It's a free forest. It's not like we are spying on you.
What? Spying?
Who said anything about spying?
How long have you been there?
We were visiting our friend. You have no business here.
None of you have business here.
It isn't nice to scare a fairy moth.
Okay, so now I'm here with John Thomas, hello, and Lucy. Say hi, Lucy.
Hello.
And both of you also play the same character in Cobweb Dreams. Lucy, what is your character?
Thicket.
Thicket. Thicket is sort of the best friendish, brotherish character to the main character, Cobweb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, the thing is that in the middle school version, Lucy, which you are in, Thicket is played by you, and you are a?
Girl.
Girl, yes. And in John Thomas, in the high school version, you're a guy, right? And so, what part were you looking for when you auditioned for the play?
I was actually looking at Puck. I really thought he was very playful and mischievous. And I really wanted, he was a different character than what I was used to playing. And then Miss Greer put on the board on the auditions the names of flower fairies and water fairies and all that. And then she starred certain ones that she wanted to turn into a guy. And then I was just thinking, that's going to be interesting to see how they're going to turn it into a guy. I didn't think I was going to
be the one
to change it. But it's been really interesting.
It's really interesting for me, too, because, you know, for me, I saw Thicket as a girl, but I really like Thicket as a boy. Like, what do you think of the character as a guy, John Thomas?
I just think he's more like a brother to her. I think in the girl, if you have a girl play it, it would be more of like the best friend, you know. Willow's kind of like the mommy, but Thicket is kind of like the brother, and he's also kind of an authority figure to her in the end, whenever he just tells her, you know, you belong with us.
Yeah.
I don't know why you can't see it.
Yeah. Now, Lucy, how do you see the character?
Well, I see a really playful that she doesn't really want to get in trouble with Tanya, but at the same time, she wants to have fun, and she wants to go with Cobweb, and every time Cobweb gets in trouble, she's worried that Cobweb will blot her out, really.
Do you know what's really interesting, though? When I was taking pictures yesterday of you, Lucy, every time, like, Cobweb was threatened or every time, like, the flower flares came around, you made a fist. And it's like you were going to get up and you were going to beat somebody up. Is that conscious? Did you make a choice to be angry and have that make up really tense fist?
The first time that happened, I was up in her face and I was like, wait, hey, how did I get here? And then, like, the other times I thought, oh, well, I thought that was fun. Might as well go with it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting image, which I think the high school, John Thomas, you're think it's not like that at all. No, how do you see
he
that kind?
Is a lot like Willow. The way that I looked into the backstory is that Willow and Thicket were brother and sister.
Right.
And they both do kind of worry about Cobweb, and they're really concerned about Cobweb, but it's also like she has to make her own decisions, and she has to fail.
Right.
At times. Yeah. Just like everyone.
Everybody has to. Lucy, did you do some background work on your character?
I did.
So what's your backstory?
Well, Thicket is Willow's twin sister, but they're like, they're fraternal twins. Where they're nothing alike. And Cobweb, they just kind of ran into Cobweb one day when Cobweb was about to get beat up by Flower Fairy, and Willow and Thicket kind of jumped in and save her. That's how they met.
Yeah. There's a moment at the end where in the middle school version, it's you and Willow, and you're sort of, Willow's revealing for the first time that she'd really miss Cobweb.
Yeah.
And you guys hold hands when you walk away. What's that moment like for you?
Well, it's kind of big for us. I mean, Willow has always been, you know, like, oh, I'm worried about her, but, you know, she's a friend. And then in that scene, she's my best friend. I'm going to die without her. I really need her there.
Did it make sense for you to hold hands when you walked off?
Yeah.
You hold hands in other areas, too, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. John Thomas, you and Willow don't do that, do you?
No.
Why?
I think Thicket really gets annoyed with Willow because she's always worried and she's always trying to control Cobweb. And he really just, as he says, she has to make her own decisions. And he gets annoyed with her because he has a bunch of stuff to say. Thicket is younger than Willow. And I think he's a lot wiser, even though he is younger. And he has so much that he wants to say, and he wants to take care of everyone, but Willow isn't letting him, so he just gets annoyed with her sometimes.
I love how we have, like, this. So it's the exact same show, essentially, but, you know, people are able to make completely different interpretations of their character. Lucy, what was it like to see your character played by another person?
Well, I always saw Thicket one way, like, very boyish, very happy, very playful, and then when I saw John Thomas, I was like, oh, Thicket can be another way, and I was amazed by that.
Yeah? Did you ever feel any pressure to play it his way?
Not really, no.
That's good. That's good. And what was it like to see the different interpretation of Thicket?
It was interesting to see how the show was written for a girl. I really thought it was cool, and, you know, I had known Lucy just through seeing her perform at the middle school, and so I really was happy for her to get the role, and it was just, you know, just looking at her, it's just like, wow, I really love how we can interpret things differently, and it still can be such a good show.
Yeah, it's like, it's very open, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So are you guys looking forward to the show? So tonight we have the high school, and this afternoon the middle school. What are you looking forward to, Lucy?
Performing for my mom. She's been really excited about this. She's helped me run my line. She's made my costume. She's with me all step.
Cool. So. How about you?
I'm just really excited to premiere something. You know, we're the first group to do this in the United States, and it's just really cool. You know, 20 years down the road, I can look back and say, this is what I did.
Well, and also your names are going to be when it gets officially published, you're going to have your names in the published work, which is also very cool. Because this is a very unique experience that we have the middle school show, the same show as middle school and high school. And also, did you have a conversation together about your character?
Yeah.
And how do you think that this experience is going to help you the next role that you do? Lucy, what do you think?
Well, next role I do, I'll know not just to see Possum one way. I'll know to look at it from different points of view, see them as something else.
Cool. How about you?
I've learned that you can't just look at a script and get your character that way. You have to research, and you have to, I mean, it's little stuff like looking into the name, like where does the name come from? So I've learned that I can't just not do backstory. I have to know who this character is.
Awesome.
It just makes the experience so much cooler.
Awesome. Okay, break a leg, guys. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay, so don't forget, you can find the links for this episode at theaterfolk.com/episode87. Before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. It's a play feature, it's a play feature, it's time to feature a play. So our play of the week this week is Postcards from Shakespeare by Allison Williams. Allison has a number of plays with us, Drop Dead Juliet, Hamlet, Macbeth, The Scarlet Heart, and we are thrilled to have another in our catalog. So here's the deal. Shakespeare has writer's block, and he doesn't know how to fix it. So he turns to the only person who can get him out of this jam, Queen Elizabeth I. Of course, who else would you turn to, right? Okay, here is a short moment from the play. The words just aren't coming out. It used to be so easy. Bang out 50-odd pages, rush it to the theater, collect the money, 4 histories, 2 comedies, and a really long poem in the last 4 years. But now I am a block, a stone, a worse than senseless thing. Please, Elizabeth, no one understands me like you do. What shall I do? How dreadful for you. Sometimes I don't know what to say either, but then I just yell, chop off his head, or I'm not getting married, and that covers most situations. If I yell it in French, I look clever, too. Coupez la tête! Je ne vais pas épouser! I don't think that will work for you, though. You're already married. And you can't chop off people's heads. Well, you can, but you may not. Where would we be if everyone just chopped off someone's head when they felt like it? Spain. And then we'd all have to take a 3 hours nap every afternoon, just when the weather's getting nice. William, your plays make me, what's that feeling when no one's attacking you with guns or asking you to marry some repellent little toad from Norway? Happy! They make me happy. Not too many things do that anymore. So they say change is as good as a rest. Willie, dear, so let's have a change of scene. Ah, see what I did there? Scene? I'm sure I could be a writer, too, if I wasn't so busy crushing the Welsh. Enclosed is a purse of ducats. Well, not enclosed. Attached. Well, handed to you by the messenger with this letter. You know what I mean. Take a little trip on me, Willie, and see if that gives you some fresh ideas. Don't think of it as giving up. It's like a strategic retreat. Like the Spanish. Invincible Armada, my Aunt Fanny. So, Shakespeare takes a whirlwind tour around the world in 30 minutes, looking for inspiration. Venice! Egypt! There's something rotten in the state of Denmark. Go to theaterfolk.com, search for postcards from Shakespeare, read the sample pages, laugh your butt off, buy a copy, do it now. Finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. Go there, search on the word Theater Folk. That's where you'll find us. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.